The captain is here, Ashley Westwood, on Charlotte Soccer Show. We're at Hop Fly Brewing Company. It's release day. The captain, Pilsner. The day after a massive 2-0 victory on the road at Philly. Ashley, it's great to see you. Congratulations on the win, and congratulations on being the man of the hour here at Hop Fly. The captain, Pilsner, it's going over well, and I know you brewed it.
I had a lot to do with it. Obviously, there's a story behind it. Scotty bought it me for my birthday. We come here, we had a tasting day, which was incredible. I told him what I wanted. I wanted something that you could drink all day, because us English like to drink. We love a Sunday session. And they've produced, so thanks to Hop Fry and everyone here. It's a great team. And it's just, you know, just doing the signing session, it's just like hearing fans coming up saying thank you so much for what you're doing for the community. And as players, we don't realise what we're doing. We just get on with trying to get 3 points. But for people to say that, it's incredible. And like I said, I've said it from the start of the season. We are onto something special here. We are onto something special.
Ashley, I got some questions about the beer that I want to get to real quick. But first, just following up on what you just said, you come from England. You've talked in the past about the bond between a club and community. And that's very common over there. It's not as common over here. What's it like to build that culture in America?
Well, I think, obviously, I missed the first year. So it was, for me, the second year, I wanted to build a culture of the lads. It was like everyone together. And like I said, we go on nights out, we bond together, and that's what brings us together. And I think you're starting to see now we're a bunch of, I like to downplay us. We're a bunch of good lads who run around for each other. I mean, you saw Wednesday night, we were down to 10 men for 60 minutes, and the lads put in a real shift. You've got BB, come on, BB's in the dressing room at half time, shouting, come on, let's do this, lads. This is what we're made for. So it just shows what the character we're building. And like I said, if you do anything in life, hard work gets you to a lot of places.
It reminds me of hearing you tell that BB story. It reminds me of the Necaxa match in Leagues Cup last season when Charlotte, you started that match. Charlotte was up 3-0 at halftime. Danny and I were very lucky to be in the vault there. And you came like stomping off the pitch being like, let's fucking go.
3-0 is not good enough. Let's go.
I was like, damn, dude. Ashley's not screwing around. So I want to ask you about it being the captain, right? The beer here at Hot Fly is called the captain for a reason. You're wearing the armband every match. Now, you've played your entire career. I'm sure you've learned from so many people that have helped you become the captain you are today. So I want to know, who are your influences, right? Who are you modeling your captainship after?
So my biggest influence was Tom Heaton, who's away with England now in the Euros, and he's not even been picked to play. He's there as a player coach. So it just shows it's not about what he does on the field, it's about what he does off it. So, but for me, I managed to have him at Burnley, and he was just an incredible man. Like, spoke to everyone around the staff, like, no matter who you were, he respected. And for me, that's what I've grown up to be. My parents have brought me up to be. My dad said a very important message to me. He said, when you're climbing the ladder, always be careful who you pass, because you always pass them on the way back down. And that's lived with me. And that is, because obviously in football you have meteoric rise, and all of a sudden it goes down. So you have to be careful with who the people you pass up, because you'll see them on the way back down. So that, from my dad, that's the biggest advice he gave me.
That's wonderful wisdom from you. And to go off that, who'd you model your game after growing up in England?
So my hero was Paul Scholes.
Oh, Scholesy.
So he was...
Scholesy!
He was incredible. Obviously, I'm nowhere near as good as him, but you had Paul Scholes. But I see myself as a Michael Carrick. Very unassuming. Keeps the ball. Doesn't look like he does a lot, but if you have him in your team, you ask all the Man United players, he's the one that would want you in his team. So for me, it's about I want my players to pick me. That's what I want to be.
It's kind of like the quote, it's with Sergio Busquets. Watch the game and you don't see Sergio Busquets, but watch Sergio Busquets and you see the game. When I watch Charlotte FC games, I'm laser focused on you to see when are you going to pick that pass over the top to Patrick Adjumon. Because it seems like you guys always do a little 1-2 and then it's over the top vertical, and you do that so well.
Yeah, and it's something we work on. Like, we want to play football. We're a team that want to play, but we're not naive enough to. Patrick's strengths are running behind, and I think you saw against Philadelphia, he was incredible. And even against Orlando, I think with me, it's trying to tell Patrick, you don't realize what you're doing for the team. Sometimes he gets frustrated, and it's like, but I'm saying, I said against Orlando, I said, Pat, you're controlling three centre-backs because they're scared of you. And it's just keeping him going. And like against Philadelphia, I thought he was... I'm going to be critical of him here. He should have scored in the first half. Sometimes he takes too many touches where he should just shift and bang it. But you shown in the second half, the header was incredible.
So good.
But for me, it was his hold-up play. And that's something that he needs to improve on, and he's working on it. But his hold-up play is incredible. And his goal was unbelievable. The way he took the defender on and shifted it left foot, he's a proper number nine.
It was sexy. I'm going to call it that, okay?
And he's got a sexy smile as well.
Right. He looks sexy when he holds that hand up to the side of his head, for sure.
He's an incredible human being.
It's got to feel good for you to like be able to touch the careers of these younger players, obviously. These guys' careers are going to go on way past yours in a few years when you finally decide to hang them up. But it's got to feel good for you. I want to hear your sense of pride with the fact that you have covered the second most ground in the entire league. You're number two in the stats. And the kid who's number one is like 23 years old. How good does it feel coming back off injury to just be known for that guy who's all over the pitch?
Yeah, it's... But the most thing that's hurting me is I'm going to miss Houston.
It hurts. That was a soft yellow.
It was stupid from me. But I had a little bet with Pribs that I would outlast him. But so Pribs has played every minute of every game. I've played every minute of every game. But unfortunately, he's going to do me. So... But no, it's like I love seeing the young lads doing well. You look at the likes of Pribs. He's playing out of position, but he's not playing out of position because he's a centre back now.
Not anymore, yeah.
He's
not
incredible.
Anymore. He's a centre back.
And you see Patrick coming through. You see Tiger coming through. And I go back to my time at Burnley. We had a young boy called Dwight McNeil.
Oh.
He's at Everton now. And
familiar.
Yeah.
Very good. And we had a good group there, and we begged for him to play in the first team. We wanted him to train with us. And the group we had there, we brought him through. We nurtured him, and now he's on his way to being... He's a special player. And so for me, it's seeing these young lads coming through. And like I said, our under-17s are now in the final. So hopefully they're going to take my place one day, and I would cherish that moment.
Well, you've built the culture here for sure. You're the captain, both by the coach giving you the armband and just by your attitude and your demeanor on the pitch, for sure. You are the captain. No one else could take that armband from you. We'll see who wears it against Houston. But I want to get back to this beer.
Hold on. Wait a minute. You brought it up, so I'm going to ask, right? How does it work? Is it like in Ted Lasso where, you know, Roy Kent has to give the armband to somebody else? Or is Dean going to pick? Like, how's that going to work for Saturday?
So, I don't know. It's up to the gaffer. But
okay.
I think with the personnel we've got, the characters we've got, for me personally, it's Nathan Byrne.
Great choice.
He shouts, he talks, he leads. Again, he's just always available. You can always rely on him. And I think for Nathan, he's my right-hand man. He gives a lot of advice to the young lads. I think Nathan, his work goes unnoticed. Obviously, I wear the armband, but Nath does a lot of work around the changing room, out of the field. Obviously, he mixes with Patrick. He drives in with Patrick. So, yeah, Nathan, for me, is an incredible human being, and I hope he wears it with pride on Saturday.
Yeah, if it was up to you, he'd wear it, and that's great.
Well, I give it him after the game. I put it on his arm.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
I want to ask about this beer because you are the captain. The beer is named the captain. You said earlier in this little talk that You wanted a beer that could be drank all day. How about give me your best all day drinking story and why it's important to you to be able to drink all day and not just have three and pass out.
Wow, how long have we got?
We've got all day.
So at Burnley, we had a big drinking culture. And there was a place called, where we used to live. And you would receive a text message from one of the lads. Lads, 4 o'clock. And they would name this bar. And then all of a sudden you would have 20 lads turn up. And they would have a live band on. And we would go through to 1 a.m. till it closed. We would keep the place open. So I'm not encouraging drinking, but it creates a bond for the lads. Like when you're out away from football and you're enjoying each other's company, it goes a long way, and that's what we're creating this year. Lads go out, we enjoy each other's company, we switch off from football. So I wanted to bring a beer out that you could drink all day.
Nathan Byrne and Patrick Ogemong just walked in, baby.
Ashley, thanks so much for your time.
Hi, mate.
Bang on cue.
Nathan's here, Patrick's here. Thanks so much, Messi, for your time. Congratulations. Thanks so much for joining the show. We appreciate you being here.
Burn, baby,
to hang
burn.
Out with your teammates. Thank you. Thanks, Messi.
Talk to us about your goals yesterday.
I had the motivation from my teammates, and I just keep going, so opportunities came, we were able to take it.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Ashley Westwood.
Thank you.
Cheers
thank
to you. Lex, thanks so
thank
much
you.
For joining
and this
the show.
This is what it's all about.
And congratulations.
People who get along together.
Yes, it is. Thanks so much.
Thank you
Ashley.
For our culture, Captain. We appreciate you, for sure. You go have fun. It's got to feel good to see your teammates showing up and showing out.
Welcome back to Charlotte Soccer Show. Just an unbelievable interview there. What a finale to that interview.
I mean, the scenes, baby. Limbs at Hot Five for sure. The fact that as Ashley Westwood is naming Nathan Byrne as his potential, fill-in as the captain's arm man, in walks Nathan Byrne with Patrick Ogemong. Amazing.
Yeah. I was like that Leo DiCaprio meme where he's sitting on the chair and he points at the TV.
There's Nathan, yeah. And Patrick came, and Patrick's giving out hugs all over the bar. Leah Labata has just walked into the building and is giving out hugs and signatures all over the bar. It's an amazing day at Hot Fly, like it always is whenever Charlotte FC comes here. It's a big deal. This is the soccer bar of South End, as everyone knows. And I was having a good time, and now I'm having an absolutely phenomenal time.
I mean, Danny, I have to tell you, I knew that we had a chance to get Westy today. I knew that he would be cool enough to come over and have a chat with us. But one thing that I really didn't kind of think about was, when you get the captain here for a chat and you get to ask him some questions that you've been wanting to ask, things got serious pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. He went deep. He did not just give us a bunch of canned answers. He started thinking about what we were asking him. He talked about his inspiration. He talked about guys he modeled his game after. He talked about, respect to anyone. I don't want to challenge anyone who's dealing with issues right now, but the drinking culture is a big way that players bond, and that became a big thing for Westwood, and he's making it a big thing here.
Yeah, exactly. And he's very professional, and just to and I want you listeners to kind of just imagine this as you're driving into work on a Monday morning. You might be getting lunch. Maybe you're listening to this midweek, and all of a sudden you realize that when Patrick Ogemong, when Nathan Byrne, when Leah Labata walked in, they were here not because they wanted to, get some beer and hang out on a Sunday. They were here because this was the day that celebrated the captain.
Right. This is a cultural thing in the club.
Yes, and Ashley has this kind of ability to unite this club together in a way that is really raw, that is real, and that's special. And I know, Brackett, for you, and listen, we don't have to pretend on this show. We can just be exactly who we are. That was a nice moment for you.
It was. I mean, the last 6 months has been a full circle moment for me just in general, but the sit next to Westwood and the watch him for years. And
you did good.
I was acting normal, playing it cool, Matt, And
I'm surprised. I'm very impressed.
I felt like I did a decent job, so that's all that
matters. You got some good questions in. You had a follow-up ready to go. I mean, we love it.
The follow-up kind of impressed me. Well done.
I had to pull that from deep, but it was a cool moment for sure, and I just wanted to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity, but I don't know. Shall we talk a little bit of Philly here?
It's the Charlotte Soccer Show family, baby. You're part of it, and that's what it's all about.
Matt Geslin back here on the mic. Matt, it's great to see you. Sorry you didn't get to be part of that interview. Your microphone was used for somebody else. I think the audience can take a guess who that was.
Thank you, Matt.
But, hey, let's talk about the match on Saturday night against Philadelphia. You can go to our YouTube page. You can see Patrick Hajimong's reaction.
We did an instant reaction on YouTube last night because it was just so great to get a win.
You can see Dean Smith's reaction there as well. Danny Brams hosting the instant react on our YouTube page. Make sure you go to Charlotte Soccer Show on YouTube. Go there. But for here and now, we should discuss the big picture. What does this win mean? What does Charlotte FC's position on the table right now, fourth in the East, what does that mean for this club? Because based on where I'm sitting, I'm starting to think about, can this team make a run in the MLS Cup playoffs?
We drew a line in the sand last night.
Wow.
And we're not messing around at this point. And the fact that we have one DP and could sign two more in the summer, and we're fourth place right now, that makes me feel really good. Wait, the best I've ever felt about Charlotte FC, which is a very scary moment at the same time for me. But I feel like I might be getting too close to the sun here with my fandom, but I'm very bullish on this team.
I'm super bullish.
Okay. DBs.
Super bullish.
That's why I'm here.
Super bullish. And the fact is, Zoran Crneta is also at this fabulous event that we're at here recording today at the Ashley Westwood Captain Beer Release Party. I got a chance to say hi to Zoran. Z-Man is my guy. You know I love him. He loves me. And I said, Zoran, go sign Bobby Firmino. And he goes, who?
Who?
And then I said, well, at least sign Patrick Hajimong, you know? Like, for fuck's sake.
I mean, somebody's got to get signed there in that number nine position.
They got the room for it. It's a position that I think right now, of course, these two are very bullish. I know, Johnny, you're pretty bullish as well. I'll be the neutral here and kind of bring everyone down a little bit. I think this team has got a lot of room to grow into. I don't think they're quite there yet. I think if you look at the table, fourth currently, but they're very easily could be in sixth when games are played out. Just the way that the table is with New York having a game in hand.
Well, and Columbus has
two or three games. So, sixth place, still in the playoffs. Again, hosting a game in four, but you made a point about making a run in MLS Cup. We've seen it before. You just have to get in. And I think the way this team plays, it's suited for a tournament like the MLS Cup. With the way that Dean wants to play defensively, behind the ball, compact. Of course, another clean sheet last night. But to be honest, I think the way, maybe you can tell me how the kids say it these days, this team is mid. If you look at it from a player's roster perspective and just the way they play, it's kind of a mid team. And I think that that's something that Dean has to figure out how to kind of elevate this squad to the next level. I think something that we've talked about, Johnny, is like Dean is very aware of how to play a different style of game than anyone else in the league knows how to play, because he's been there, done that at the Premier League level. He's played and kind of...
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Relegation football.
And relegation football in this league is still some of the best football in this league. And so that's why I think you're seeing the team in the position they are. It doesn't mean they're a good football squad, though, in my opinion.
To win MLS playoffs, you have to be hard as hell to beat. And we're hard as hell to beat. And then when you look forward and you think about it, what we could evolve to, which I mentioned before, with two signings, if one signing hits, a central midfielder, attacking midfielder, or a striker, I mean, Dean's football could evolve very easily. I mean, he has the nous to change. He's playing to the players and the squad's strength right now. So I'm excited to see what he can do when he has maybe not a Jack Grealish, but a Jack Grealish-like player to elevate this squad. I mean, Leo Labada was hungry last night. That was one of his better performances I've seen. Now, he did not get on the score sheet. He had an assist. But that kind of player has put so much pressure off, you know, the midfielders going forward. And I'm excited to see, as he continues to heat up, what happens next.
Our revolving doors of guests continues here. And next we've got up Brett Thompson, huge friend of the show.
What's up, y'all?
Good
hey,
to see you, Brett.
Good to
hey,
see you
right now, Brett. Your team is playing as we speak right now.
Switzerland, 1-0. You know, I was ready to punish them for not starting Shaqiri, but keeping him in the squad, it's 1-0 for a reason.
You got to rest the legs.
We're watching the Euros here live during this recording. Let me just ask one question.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that on the Full Time Roundup podcast, I talked about Germany scoring a goal. What happened?
Call it back.
It was VAR. VAR canceled the Germany goal code. Now that I know, I'm very confused.
A foul on Musiala, apparently.
They were cheating, you know. Everybody's trying to keep Jordan Shaqiri down. So, that's...
But, Brett, the reason why I wanted to ask you on the show to chime in now, I just wanted to... You know, you're somebody that loves the game, that loves Charlotte FC, that is so in tune with what's happening globally with soccer. What's the vibe that you're getting here today at Hop Five?
The vibe I'm getting here is a club that's very in tune with the city, which I think is a very big key to English football. And it's going to be a very big key to growing the game here in Charlotte. I look around. Like, I see Brant Bronico at a table with people he's probably never met in his life, just chilling out, talking probably soccer, talking Charlotte. He's a local boy, But, like, I see Ashley Westwood still out here. He's done talking to this podcast. He's still at the bar. I went up and said, hey, can I please get the captain on my tab? They said, oh, Westwood bought it out. You're good. Like, that is how you grow a connection to the people in the city. And that's, like, what made me fall in love with English football. Like, I saw what Liverpool Football Club, sorry to anybody that hates us, there's a lot of us.
But, like, I
see what the club means to the city. And, like, I didn't really understand it. And the way things are shaking up, the way that this club is playing, the way that things are looking throughout the rest of the city, I'm fully convinced Charlotte FC is going to be the first team, professional team in Charlotte to bring home a title.
Wow.
You don't like that take at all.
No, I love it. Just I haven't been.
Think about it. Like,
we'll see. We'll see if it happens, I guess.
We just need to go on a run.
This year, but I think it's the most competently run team in Charlotte. And so there's so much hope because we're doing all of this without two star players. Like, we have two open slots available. The team is playing a very repeatable form of football where it's, hey, we'll build it out from the back. Things are very steady there. Yes, Kalina almost made the mistake last night. But then here comes Milanda just to trot back, save it. We're good. Right.
And to be honest, you're talking about next year, Brett. We may lose Milanda by next year.
We might.
He's certainly going to – I don't think he's going anywhere this summer, but he certainly could go somewhere in the winter. But I want to know from you, Brett, as a super fan – what's it like to hear a guy like Ashley Westwood talk about that connection he's building with the community? And as someone who knows the game from the European perspective as well, you're a Liverpool super fan as well. Like, it's so got to be great for you to see that sort of British-style connection of club and city being built here in America.
Well, it's everything. Like, I think as a fan, you like to imagine your favorite player is your best friend, even if they're not, right? Like, just like as a child, you're like, oh, man, I love Sammy Sosa. Like, we'd be best friends if I met him, right? Whatever. And, like, that was my favorite player growing up, baseball. So, Ashley Westwood hosts an event like this. Slamming Sammy.
Little backyard baseball with his little backwards hat.
I had Sammy Sosa softball, the video game. It was great. Like, anyway, like, so you have these elite athletes that, like, want to connect with the city. And I think from a mid, like, we'll call it a middle market city. I will never call Charlotte a small market town.
Hell no.
But from a market like Charlotte, we're not LA, we're not Miami, we're not New York. To have players that want to be here, that want to be one of us, that's all you can ask for. And so I see something like today, I see the team building, I see the camaraderie, I see them interacting with the fans, and that's what you want as a fan. You just want to feel like they want to be here. And I think this whole club right now wants to be here. Will everybody be here next year? Certainly not.
I think it's a great take, though. I think that's something that this city has been missing at a lot of levels. And most of us here have lived here a long time, and I'm Danny Brams and I are probably the longest standing, John right behind us. Like, we've never had a team really embrace the city and be part of it, connected. You know, maybe some of those Panther teams where Cam was on his little moped around town, but it was never a full.
Those were the good old days.
A full-on embrace of the city. Whereas, like you said, Brett, these guys are here. They're you know, mingling with the fans, and they see that regularly, and you see that they embrace it on the field when they recognize the supporters before at the game in the supporter section. You know, they take the time to spend time afterwards. I think, regardless of what happens on the pitch, I think the team is here to stay, and the fans recognize that. And as long as you give effort, you know, that they're going to embrace that. Liverpool and teams like Liverpool and Everton and other teams where you give it everything you got, whether you win or lose, the fans are behind you. And I think that's something that this city is starting to embrace with this squad for sure.
As a local North Carolinian, to echo what you said, I haven't felt as close to a sports team as a connection in a very long time. Since 2015 probably was like the last time I felt this.
A decade ago, ladies and gentlemen.
But I couldn't agree more with some of the takes that are coming out. Like, this is and the players know, especially because we have local people on the team. Brant Bonico is from North Carolina. George Marks.
Bronico is in the house, by the way, here supporting his captain. We gotta love that.
It's just an awesome thing to see.
Bronico's been here for like an hour, has not stopped talking to fans. Like, he's one of our own. Like, you sing that song, like, you get it from England, but like,
he's one of our own. He's one of our own. Brant Bronico. He's one of our own. He didn't hear that, but I still yelled it.
No, that's fine. We stared at him just to see if he made
and Brackets brings up a good point, which is one reason I like your prediction, Brett, of Charlotte FC being the first professional top-level sports team to bring home a championship to Charlotte is because the other teams all suck.
It's more of an indictment on everybody else.
Like, we need to be a little bit more competently run, but just by default, we are the most competently run for sure.
And I will say, going back to what we were talking about before, you know, and to kind of just connect on Brett's point, you know, I don't necessarily feel the club top to bottom is run the way that you kind of articulated. I do think the gaffer is making a lot of what he's got available to him, and that's a credit to him too. This is kind of goes back to some of the conversation we were beginning to have on the show, and like I said earlier, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's done this before at the highest level, and I think whether or not the front office gives him the tools later on will be interesting to see what happens. You know, they've certainly made some mistakes along the way. You know, and they made some positive moves, but it will be interesting to see what happens going forward in the front office perspective. But the gaffer knows what he's doing. As long as he's here, I think that the club's in the right direction just based on that.
Okay, Matt, the way that I've described this is as professional.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
It's a very professional table position. It's a very professional organization. It's a very professional training session. Everything that Dean Smith has brought to the club can be underlined and underscored, however the fuck you want to say it, just by calling it professional. Guy's been there, he's done that, and he's taken how to manage a team at the highest level and brought it here to Charlotte. So one thing, you know, before you get out of here, Brett, the one thing I need to ask you is, realistically today, do you think this team could win MLS Cup?
It would depend on a lot of how the summer goes, because we do not have. I don't think.
Brett, answer the question: yes or no? Can the team win MLS Cup?
Somebody got my back here on the show.
No, he answered.
I don't think it would be this year, but I think this is a team that's built with the right pieces that can stay a long time.
Yep.
Within the next 5 years, you make the right signings, I think this team can win an MLS Cup, because I think the hardest thing to do is to, number one, have organization and have structure at the back at this league. And we have that. And I think one of you guys said it best. The hardest thing I think you can do is have a team that is tough to beat twice. And in this new playoff format, beating Charlotte FC twice, even scoring on them twice, difficult to do right now.
Shit, we might win League's Cup. Brett, thanks so much for coming on the show. Thanks. Dude, it's great to see you. Thanks so much for hanging out on the show. Always a pleasure to see
always
you.
Always good to see you,
Brad. Got a nice kit on. Can you describe the kit? Tell people why you love the kit. Tell the people why Shaqiri to you is so important to you and your family.
You know, this is not a video platform, but I'm wearing a Switzerland Jordan Shaqiri kit. Look, Chicago Fire and Charlotte FC do not have the nicest history. Honestly, I think they might be on the pitch Charlotte FC's biggest rivals in terms of how chippy it gets when they're on the field together. However, Jordan Shaqiri, he was my late father's favorite player, fell in love with him at the 2018 World Cup, and then he signed for Liverpool, which happened to be my favorite team. So my dad bandwagoned Liverpool with me, and he got cancer in 2022, around this time 2 years ago. And I had a friend that happened to work at the Fire, said, hey, my dad had tickets for Charlotte versus Chicago. He can't make it. There's no way y'all could do anything, right? Shaqiri, without me even asking for it, sent an autograph, sent a video saying, hey, Rick, hope you get well. He did not, passed away that winter. But then last spring, we went to Chicago Fire versus Charlotte FC. Shaq, big Shaq, European legend, comes over to us, me and my brother, takes off his shirt, hands it to us, gave us the shirt off his back, told us, like, you know, he's sorry about Rick, our father. And, like, for that, you're a fan for life. So, again, it goes way deeper than football with this sport, you know? And, again, I think that's kind of, to loosely connect to what we've talked about, that's what this sport's all about. It's the connections. It's the feelings. If we don't win an MLS Cup in the next 5 years, I'm going to not forget how I felt today or at these games or whatever. I think ultimately it's a sport that's about the emotion and the passion. So yeah, I wear the Shaqiri shirt. Westwood like gave me a look like Jordan Shaqiri. Good goal the other day, I guess.
That's a great story. Thanks so much for telling it and opening up to the listenership here on the show. And thanks so much for joining Charlotte Soccer Show, Brad. It's a pleasure to see you.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, cheers. And, you know, cheers to this entire event, I'll say. You know, as things are kind of simmering down here at Hot Fly Brewing Company, I'm just going to set the scene for everybody who's listening here. Brent Bronico is just kind of like lingering around the bar. Patrick Ajumong has got himself a seat at the bar, and he's just hanging out having a good time.
He's waiting. He's waiting for you, Johnny. You got some business to talk.
That's true. I told him earlier, hey, just so you know, I had a word with somebody, let him know we were already thinking about the new deal. And the reception I got, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like it. So yeah, we're going to play a little bit of hardball, especially after a brace on the road against Philly.
The price of the bag just went up.
The price of the bag just went way, way up. We've got the full crew, Ashley, his whole party, hanging out upstairs. So as we welcome Danny Brams back into the show, I think the one thing that we have to do is, like, realistically discuss Ben Bender's return to the pitch. Okay. You know, we've been doing the show for 25 minutes or so, and we talked to Ashley Westwood. Didn't ask him about Ben. Maybe should have. But Ben Bender did return to the pitch on Saturday night in Philadelphia. And let me tell you, he made a massive impact, Danny.
Incredible impact. I feel like, you know, they always say so-and-so created the goal whenever a great goal is scored. It was a team goal for sure, from Milan to Longball to Vargas, Vargas inside to Ben, Ben back out to Yere, and then Yere with a wicked cross that found Patrick's head, and Patrick fighting off Jack Elliott, one of the best defenders in the league. Absolutely insane team goal, but biggest contribution for me, obviously you got to put the ball in the net, but what I loved about Bender's brainy decision on that play was he made a first touch kick out back to the wing in space and let Yere run onto it. And it's that first touch play that just means so much, because how many times do you see our guys and MLS players in general just take the ball and then they got to set it at their feet and then they got to look up and decide what to do? Ben Bender's vision for and where he's what he's seeing on the pitch and the lines that he's seeing and his I remember first year 2022 Ben Bender, I was always so mad at him because he would get the ball at his feet and lose possession immediately. He doesn't do that anymore. He makes great decisions. He knows when to hold it up. He knows when to kick it out. And he kicked it out beautifully for Yere. And Yere made the cross of his life for sure. That thing was a wicked, wicked, wicked curve to get onto Patrick's head. But Bender created the goal for me. Most important contribution.
It's, for me, it goes farther than the bender pass.
It goes deeper than the mind?
It goes deeper than the mind.
Wow.
He's the mind bender.
The fact, it was one of the, for me, the most satisfying goals of the season. And it was because it started with Kalina. It was probably 7 passes, maybe 8. And it started with Kalina, Brant on the half turn to Westy. And it went all the way up, just direct football. And we just completely broke down Philly's press.
Yep.
And it ended with a goal. It was more, it was an end-to-end goal. And for me, as a team that struggles to score goals, that was like a shot of light in a dark tunnel that this team can actually play proper football.
Well, you mentioned struggling to score goals, which I think is really important because I've called it a – I've used words like chore. It's been a slog. It's been a campaign. It's been difficult to kind of get
it's
on
board.
It's
been a grind. Some would call it a grind.
I mean, things have been very, very slow to come by. And all of a sudden, if that slowness turns into the next level, which is quicker passes, better build up, classy finishes, right? If all the slog that we've all dealt with for the last 3 months turns into that in July and August, that's why I keep mentioning like MLS Cup and like, hey, what's going to happen in the playoffs? Because all of a sudden, you start to see a team that is getting better, a team that is more enjoyable to watch. And I'll just throw that out there. Like last night, Ben Bender's inclusion in this club, in this starting lineup, for me, it was like, okay, I can watch this now and I can enjoy it. Because Ben was moving in ways that nobody else in this club does.
I think it's important to remember, though, too, that he was the number one draft pick for a reason. And he had a difficult injury that set him back. And he's just coming back from that now. We were at practice a couple weeks ago, and he was off to the side training.
We've seen him all season.
All season, practice. Training extremely hard and kind of, you know, those 1-2 passes and working off the field boards that they put in front of him. And it's nice to see it come to life. But it's not, you know, Danny, you did a great interview with Brandon Cambridge talking about it, and he mentioned that Ben has been a harder injury to come back from than his injury. So it has been a long time for him to get back on the pitch, and it was important for him to come back and produce, right, because he is that number one draft pick, and the expectation of him was to be that good. And so if you can add a piece like him to the squad now, it changes things going forward.
It's like a new signing. It's like a new signing.
You hope so. Yeah.
But all jokes aside.
Is Zoran still here?
Zoran is still upstairs, as far as I know. As we set the scene here, what, like 30, 40 minutes into this episode, Aji is still chilling at the bar. Brant is still holding court with his wife, Rebecca, over at one corner of the bar. Westwood and Abada have retreated upstairs with Byrne.
Oh, I see Bill Tulum over there as well.
I mean.
He's my guy.
He's wearing his Canada hat.
We absolutely love Bill Tulum.
Is that a Canadian national flag there?
I bet they're on protest because they haven't gotten their boxes of wine yet for the clean sheets from Coach. I feel like that's why they're all here today. They're waiting for their wine.
But you can't forget that Ben Bender scored a goal against Red Bulls on his first sub-in appearance. He makes things happen. He got shots on goal when he subbed in against Orlando. He makes things happen. Like, I don't know what people don't know about Ben Bender, but he's the real freaking deal. Like,
and by the way, it wasn't a Canadian national hat. I know that Bill plays for New Zealand. Let me just throw that out there. I thought he might have been supporting his friend Scotty Arfield today wearing the Canadian national team hat, you know, as the Copas has started. No, it's just
New Zealand's not playing.
Some sort of hat that I didn't know the vibe on. You've seen him out in Charlotte.
Biggles, my absolute guy. For the crown, like you guys, your Twitter tweeted it out because I sent it to you guys when it happened. But off season, Barcelona Wine Bar. Didn't want to interrupt him, but he walked by. I said hello, and next thing you know, he's buying us bottles of wine, hanging out with us. Like just great, genuine guy. He was about to go back for Christmas. One of the best characters I've met, and I've been wishing him to succeed ever since. And I think his time will come here for the Charlotte FC at some point or another.
But even if it doesn't, I think his presence is vital to this
the character,
squad.
Right?
The experience more than the character. Character as well, but the experience that he's giving an Andrew Privet or even a Milanda as he starts to develop and grow into this top-notch defender. Just the fact that he's been in the league this whole time and he can show him the ropes, tell you kind of a little bit the experience of traveling across the country for all these games midweek and, you know, a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. And it's vital to have these guys on the roster, whether he starts or not. And by the way, if you need him off the bench, he can still produce and give you a game or two as a depth player, or if you need to give those guys a break, and your level of drop-off is not going to be that significant compared to if you brought in an academy player from Legacy. So it's definitely important to have depth and a player like him at this time.
There's people who will never forgive Big Bill for some of his high-profile mistakes that he made in 2023, but when he's been on the pitch in 2024, he hasn't been bad, and who else are you going to sub in? If there's an injury to Privet or Milanda or something like that, who else? Like, Bill Tulum is the guy that I want filling in.
JP, maybe.
Yeah, JP, I think, is making his name as a left back more than a center back. He did play center back for Legacy, but I feel like his reps at the top level have been left back, and I think JP would probably prefer to be left back because I think for his long-term future, he's probably got more money in his pocket if he's a great left back and can move on to a bigger league someday when he gets to his point of development. But Tuoloma is the guy that I feel comfortable with him in. I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but I still feel that way.
I feel that way. Sign me up.
Hey.
Tell me where to sign on that dotted line,
nice,
Danny Brown.
Nice to meet people with common interests.
All right, so we've talked about Ben Bender. Obviously, we've had Ashley Westwood on the show. So it's tough to top what we've been doing so far on the show.
In a way, we had Patrick Ojemong back on the show. you know.
Yeah, and Nathan Byrne as well. Nathan Byrne said what's up on the show tonight.
Yeah.
So I think, just to wrap things up, what I would ask y'all.
Can I just point out, before you wrap things up, by the way, after Patrick came and said, hey, what's up to us, and said, hey, what up to Ashley, he literally stood in a line of about 20 kids who all wanted his autograph and signing their hats and jerseys and stuff, and he just gladly did all that too. Patrick Ojemong is a man of the people, and especially the young fans.
And credit to all the players. They all did when they walked in as well. So not just Pat, but they all recognize. It goes back to the point that Brett was making, the connection to the city, and credit to all the players that walked in here at Hopfly and signed autographs.
Well, I'm looking at the T-shirt that he's wearing, right? And it says on the back side of it, designed in London.
Crystal Palace!
Do you think that Patrick Ojemong could find himself in a London team? I think he could.
That is the one question I wanted to... When Westwood was talking about Ojemong, my last following question was, where can he go?
Yeah.
What do you think his level is?
Fulham and loves their American players.
He's got the body to play in the Premier League. I mean, what he's doing to these American defenders is wild at 23. He's not even filled out yet. Imagine if he gained a couple pounds.
He's doing what Lukaku does to his competitors in Euro.
Exactly.
He bodies people. And I mean this dead seriously. And this comes from maybe somebody who has – I have a background in American football and football, right? I enjoy both sports as equal to one another, right? Where it's like I like to see the traits that translate from one to the other. And I think that I have a huge emphasis on physicality, okay? And that's why I love Lukaku.
He's also Irish. He's
physical as fuck. And we like to play physical. Patrick Ojemong plays physical as fuck. And when those two things match up, skill and physicality, it works both in the NFL and the Premier League. You just need those two things. And Patrick Ojemong has that. He can – if you put another 20 pounds on that body, there's no center back. There's no center back in the Premier League that would have a – I think about Virgil van Dijk, right? I think about somebody who's very experienced, very well-built, able to control a big striker. You put 20 pounds on Ojemong, I say – I want to see you two go shoulder to shoulder. Let's see what happens.
And you mix it in, the attributes you said, with the fearlessness that he has. He wants to be the guy. He thinks he's the guy. And he's not afraid to take a shot when someone else is open because he wants to take that chance.
Well, the second goal last night, he had a couple different options and he didn't take those passes.
And he banged in the back of the net. And
I will say, you guys are flying a little close to the sun, to be honest. I think there is definitely potential in there, and I think that's something that, to your point, Johnny, if he goes to Europe, you have to see that progression the rest of the way, right? He had a brace last night. He's got to continue to put the ball in the back of that consistently. I'm not saying he has to dominate the sport. And
for
the
what
league.
It's worth.
A header and a weak foot brace.
For what it's worth, Millwall is in London too.
Okay, well, it depends. That's fair.
Gesslin, I'm telling Patrick you're saying this,
you
by the way,
that.
Just so you know.
And
I'm reporting back.
He'll agree with me. he has to be more consistent in putting the ball. And I'm not saying, again, he doesn't have to score a brace every game, but he has to get to a double-digit goal total for the season in MLS. If he's going to go and make
that's
an impact
lock
in Europe.
I'll bet him $1,000 he gets to double-digit goals.
It has to be done. If it's done, then yes. And I'm not saying that he can't. It can't be. It's just saying right now no team in Europe will look at a player of his nature and say just
unless we sign someone over him.
That, I'm going to take him that way. But I don't disagree with you. The talent is there. The ability and the drive is there. It has to just come out. I've said many times
that Patrick Ojemong, we talked about in the full-time roundup episode earlier that we taped today about U.S. men's national team. Patrick Ojemong is one of the biggest indictments of U.S. men's national soccer that there is out there, because a guy like this, to not be on any type of national radar when he's playing at Central Connecticut State and Rhode Island, it's just embarrassing the way that our system works to identify players, because he should have been identified. The fact that he just popped up at the MLS Combine and Charles was like, we'll take him, you know, like, it's an embarrassment.
I was reading the article that I wrote in December this morning about Patrick Ojemong. Could he be a budding MLS star? This could be his breakout year. And I went back and reread what I wrote, and I remembered the statistics that I put in the article, which was at the college MLS Combine, 10-yard sprint, Ojemong first. 30-yard sprint, Ojemong first. Vertical leap, Ojemong third.
Physical attributes are no doubt there. Again, it goes back to putting it in the net.
But he's smart as hell, too, dude. The way, like I know a lot of his moves don't always come off, but what he tries is absolutely mind-blowing sometimes. When you see the vision of what he's trying to do, it's insane.
I think if you get him a new contract and he plays a little bit less hero ball, I think that's when you have him clicking into a budding star in the league. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but hero ball isn't his fault. It's what he's being asked to do.
Right, no, exactly.
That is a very good point.
And he's holding the ball up.
He is.
And the layoff, think about the layoff to Bronico against Orlando that gave us the lead.
Okay, here's the question that'll settle the debate.
Should we just bring him over and ask him the question? Or?
Maybe we should, actually. Here's the question that'll settle the debate. About the United States men's national team. If Josh Sargent is good enough to play on the United States men's national team, is Patrick Ojemong good enough to play on the United States men's national team?
Yes, 100%. He should be in the camp at the very least.
I say an Olympic camp, maybe. Olympic camp, maybe. But I have a very good friend who played summer ball with Pat in college. And this guy would terrorize the defenders in college, he said. It was just like he couldn't believe that he wasn't on a better team than Rhode Island.
You're not talking about yourself, right?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about Patrick Ojemong. But how he described it and how me and John have talked about it offline is it is a meteoric progression. He is evolving. Every year he gets better and better. And so at the ripe age of 23 as a striker, give him a nice contract and give him 2 years to cook, and we'll see where he can be.
Okay, so I hear you say that, and you're on my side, so I don't want to, like, debate you. But in that article, I also put some other statistics. I said – at Eastern Connecticut State University, he had, like, legitimately 30 goals in 30 appearances. And then he went to Rhode Island. And then he had 20 goals in 25 appearances.
Which in college is hard to do.
My point is this guy's just inevitable.
Yeah.
It's right. Like, that's the telltale sign of any striker is.
He proves it.
Is this fucking guy inevitable? Right. Is he going to score?
If we're looking for comps of Patrick Ojemong, John, you mentioned Lukaku earlier. I'm gonna throw out Thanos.
With the inevitable?
Yes, he's inevitable. And when you play Pat and you actually have possession and you give him good service, he probably will score. Like, and that to me is not fanboyish. This is like me really analyzing the game. And when you've been critical, Matt, you have been of Ojemong, because you've been on the sideline, you've been shooting content, and there's been many times where he's chosen the wrong option. But those options are so few and far between, where it's so easy to just get like a spotlight on those plays instead of realizing, like, having this guy on the pitch makes you one of the best teams in MLS.
I don't disagree, and I think where my view is because of all the physical attributes that you articulated, you would expect him to dominate the pitch and dominate the opponent. We just had Christian Benteke here recently for DC United. Everything went through him. And you saw, you talked
even
about
the red card.
Even the red card. You talked about his
that
aerial
cost
duels.
Him the match.
You talked about his aerial duels, wins, and all those stats about how you know his physicality. That's something that Pat needs to get into his game and win. And yes, they're double teaming him or they're playing him harder. But if you're that strong, that much bigger, you need to take advantage of that. And I think that's something that he needs to learn. And again, the goals will come if they're there, and all that will come with it. But I think that he needs to kind of take that next step on his own. And if he does that, the sky's the limit for the kid. But he's just not – it's just not showing up week in, week out quite yet. That's all.
And Westwood talked about that. He literally sat here and said, the kid's great, and then gave compliments, and then also critiqued where he's working
right,
on.
Right, right.
The captain of our football team literally just went. And you – I mean, if he said it to us, he's definitely saying it to Patrick. So Patrick seems to have – like, we don't have – that number nine ideal guy to take Patrick under his wing. But at least we have Westy. We have Leo Abada, Kerwin Vargas, other, like, senior members who are, like, playing with him day in and day out and giving him advice, especially Dino. I mean, Dino said he wanted wings to fly.
Are you trying to say that Charlotte FC's DP Argentinian striker put his tail between his legs and left town when he realized he wasn't as good as the 71K college kid coming out of America?
Yes.
Yeah, as I think that's what happened. It's Charlotte Soccer Show, John Hayes, Danny Brams, Danny Brackett, and of course Matt Geslin here. It's a Sunday episode at Hot Fly Brewing Company. We're here to celebrate the captain. The beer release is honestly,
fire!
It's really good.
It's been a very big success here, I would say.
Ashley Westwood said, I wanted a beer named after me that you could drink all day, and I've been drinking them all day, baby.
The reason why I want to end the episode is because I want to go get another one.
Right, exactly.
And there's 30 minutes left of these Euro matches. We should all just go hang out together, drink some beers. And
can we shout out our guests? Ashley Westwood, Patrick Ajmong, Nathan Byrne, and Brett Thompson. A fearsome foursome if ever there is one.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. Make sure you go check out the full-time roundup episode if you haven't heard it. The four of us, we talked Euro 2024. We talked Copa 2024.
We sure did.
U.S. National team.
National team.
Even a little bit of Charlotte FC.
Yes, we did. And I cut you off abruptly, and I said, hey, let's do that somewhere else.
By the way, U.S. Men's National team, less than 2 hours away from kick, just so we're all on the same page with that. So
we're going to watch the United States. Where is Bolivia, by the way?
I couldn't point it out on a map.
You're looking at Daniel Brackett for geography? Come on.
The guy just went all...
Ask me European geography, not Central America.
Don't hang up in the mountain.
And don't ask him to pronounce it, because there's no way he's getting that right.
Nah, DB just rattled me. That's not fair.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. Thanks so much to everybody for hanging out with us today. And as always, Matty Geslin.
For the crown, baby.